The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world, George's Box.
Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
And it's a good day to be a Yankee fan. This is, I tweeted it, but like, this is what Sunday baseball games are supposed to be. You're supposed to win by 10.
A little excitement, Sunday blowouts are nice. Yeah.
A little excitement early in the game, but by the fifth inning, I don't want to be focusing. I don't want to be worrying in the fifth inning. I got enough Sunday scaries.
It does add to the scary. Saturday is always the game that I usually want the most, because a lot of times I'll be, it's when I'm watching with other people. So it means a little more, but yes, yeah, Sunday is when you want the blowouts for sure.
Yeah. Just, you know, if you can, you know, and different Sundays you're doing different things, but like a Sunday 4 o'clock game where like you kind of doze off on the couch. Ooh, talk dirty to me.
4 o'clock Sunday games are nice when they're on the West Coast. Look, I got to salute Carlos Rodon. We came into the year and pretty much everybody at Yankees Twitter rarely agrees on something. It was pretty universally accepted that for the Yankees to have a dominant season, Rodon needed to dominate. He's got a 2.48 ERA. He has kept them in every single game. He's gone seven innings, twice already, eight and a half Ks per nine. This is what we bought. This is what we paid for, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is to a certain extent like him living up to the paycheck. I think part of the frustration last year is like you miss a lot of time, then you come back and you're dog shit, and then, you know, your wife's on Twitter or you're making, you know, snide little remarks. But he's showing up. He's doing his job. I'm not hearing about him outside of Rodon starting today, Rodon started yesterday. Like, that's all I'm hearing, and that's all I want out of my baseball players at this point.
It's been beautiful, and we always joke about, oh, best shape of his life in February. He's kept the weight off. A lot of times people will come in February looking chiseled, but, you know, a month goes in, the travel and the season gain a little bit of weight, but he has kept it off. He must have lost, like, 20 pounds from last year. He looks like a completely different guy.
Yeah, I always wonder, like, when you're going into that off season that you're going to get the big contract, like I could see where it's easy to take your foot off the gas because like what's going to decide the contract is already done. And then you technically start the season. Now, I don't know where Rodon lives in the off season. Do you?
No, I don't.
But like you start the off season without a training facility. You know, you don't have a team like, there are guys who live in Tampa. They can go to the Yankees like facilities just to get their workouts in.
It's a great
versus
point.
Being on your own in that offseason, you don't have anything. So you and he's a guy who moved teams. You know, he spent 2 years in San Francisco. And then you don't have really a set like offseason kind of thing.
It is. And the other thing is, like, people always say, oh, you need a year to adjust. But, like, to me, I feel like after a month or two, remember, they have Yankees team assistants helping him find a house. Like, they're you know, Rodon isn't on Zillow and stuff. Oh, where should we live? So I always thought that was a little overblown. Like, oh, they need a full year to adjust. But it must be true.
Well, I think also when you come back from an injury, he's an injury prone player. I think we could say that. You come back from an injury, you hit delays in your rehab because you overcompensate in one, you know, with one part of your body. And then you come back and you're not yourself. You really aren't. And you feel the pressure. You get booed 3 games in. You feel that. Like, it all last year was just shot for him.
The other thing that's encouraging, he's not a guy that, like, usually falls off. When he dominates a season, like in 21 and 22, it's straight to finish. Like, he's not a guy I'm worried about collapsing in the second.
Yeah, like, if he stays healthy, yeah, it's not just going to totally disappear. So I think on top of the results, like, credit to him for blocking out, like, what happened last year, taking the offseason, just saying, like, I'm coming back to do business. Because, I mean, he's given up 9 runs. That's it.
And six starts.
Yeah. Like, that's more than we could have asked for.
And even his quote-unquote bad starts have been, like, 4 innings, 2 runs. There have been none of the blow-ups we had last year where the game's over in the first inning and he's pouting and moping off of the mound.
Yeah,
7-15.
He's had some games, I mean, to a certain extent, like, almost like Stroman today. Like, 4 runs in 4 innings, it's not great. But it's not, you know, 7 runs in 1 2/3.
Yeah, they haven't had a lot of those. I did, you know, overall, it's interesting. I mean, this series against Milwaukee, they scored 15 runs in back-to-back days. But the pitching was pretty mediocre other than Rodon. I mean, Heel, they gave him 5 runs early. He couldn't really do anything with it on Friday night. And then Stroman was questionable today. It didn't end up mattering for Stroman because they scored fucking 15 runs. But Stroman and Heel, it's going to be kind of interesting to see how they kind of level off in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Heel, I think, you know, we've said all along that, you know, if Heel's pitching in the bullpen for us in the postseason, like, that's kind of an ideal situation. We don't know if he's built to go through the order 2, maybe 3 times. So I'm not too worried about him because especially, like, he's our 6th starter. I like him keeping us in games. I like him being able to work himself out of the occasional situation. I'd like to see him get deeper in games, obviously. But as, you know, time ticks away, it's going to be May before we record the next episode, which means we're less than a month from Cole, apparently, because everything that we've heard about him has been good. So I'm not getting too stressed about Heel. I think Stroman's been in the big leagues long enough to make adjustments.
Oh, yeah. Stroman, I'm not worried about. Heel is a guy that some days he looks like a number one or a number two. He's gassing 100. He's got a wipeout slider. But then when he loses the zone, he loses the zone. So, like, again, if he can just be a, you know, I think he's at 4 even right now. If he can do that for another month, I'm going to go off script a little bit because you kind of caught my ear there. Am I hearing some optimism from you on Gerrit Cole coming back? Because a month ago, I was not hearing this sort of level of optimism. I'd like you to talk about that a little bit.
I mean, the reports are that it's going well. We never hear reports that it's going well. Like, look at it in parallel. DJ LeMahieu. We were like, any minute now, right? He's going to, oh, we heard he might start a rehab assignment. He gets interviewed and is very much like Aaron Judge of recent years. And it says, like, I don't even really need a rehab stint. It takes it. The Yankees go, not only do you need one, but you need one in a week. Like, you're not even ready to go now. Makes it 1 inning.
I feel like every year we get this is the most Yankee injury update ever. And it just keeps getting jacking up. The fact that he had 1 at bat and played 1 inning in the field and was like, I'm done. And then he comes back and it's, you know, the bone's still healing, but it's just general soreness. I have no idea what's going on. Like Stanzo said this when he was filling in for you last week. His foot just might be just completely finished. And I'll believe it when I see him. Like, when I see the tweet, we have activated infielder DJ LeMahieu and sent down whoever. That's when I'll believe he's back.
Yeah, I mean, they could also bring him out to center field, put a sheet over him like a racehorse, and just put him down at this point.
But I think this is it regardless.
Cole, we're hearing good things. We rarely hear good things in anybody's, like, I can't think of an injury that the Yankees have had in recent years of a player that really matters. Like, I don't care if Jake Bowers missed 10 days, even though he got us today. I can't remember a player going out short amount of time, long amount of time, player that mattered. And they said it should be about this long. And then everything along the way was like, yeah, hey, a month later, it's still same timeline, you know? So I'll take it. And like, listen, there are a ton of things you can nitpick. Baseball is such a long season that it's so easy to do. But on April 28th, when Gerrit Cole has not touched a baseball in a game for the Yankees, when Aaron Judge is batting up to 211 now.
Oh, and like, man, he's hot.
And that's a huge jump. I'm not going to complain about a first place team.
Oh, no, you can't. Anybody. And remember, Dominguez is out too. We never really talk about this, but this is a guy who, up until he had surgery, we were counting on to be a core piece of this 2024 club. It's April 28th. We're recording this. You're listening to this. It's April 29th. Cole is probably going to get on a mound by May 1st. It takes about a month, right? Maybe a rehab start or two. I'm thinking by like latest the Dodgers series. Like I want him that Friday night. I think it's like June 7th when the Dodgers come into town. You imagine like him versus Yamamoto or him versus Glasnow, that crowd and that atmosphere. I'm already getting giddy thinking about it.
See, here's the thing. You talk like that and you want to like set it up for the Friday night, but you judge me about professional wrestling. Because that's what you just did. You're just like the main event of WrestleMania. I want Cole any day, like as soon as you get back. I don't care if it's a Friday night. I don't care if he's on the other side. I want Cole on the mound on a Tuesday.
I'm sure if I had the Saturday package, I'd feel differently. But no,
Yamamoto needs an extra day, I think.
I can't wait. The bats this weekend were just phenomenal. Again, even when they lost Friday, they scored 6 runs, 15 on Saturday, 15 on Sunday. And the theme was guys that had been dead all year, Glaber, Judge, and Rizzo, pretty much balled out. And sometimes, like, we played ball. Sometimes that's all you need to get going. It's a hit parade. Everybody's in a good mood. You're up 10 runs. You know, the 10-run rule's coming in. That's how it felt Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, no, I mean, that is how it felt. I did text you on Saturday when Judge went deep. And I said, that's the most A-Rod home run I've ever seen in my life. And Ed Stanton hit a home run in the ninth inning, which is even more A-Rod, of just that meaningless home run. But like, hey, if it gets him going, obviously home run today, another RBI base hit. Like I'll take that. Whatever it is that like gets him going, because my concern is that there's an injury. Now Judge is paid. He's got his money. It's guaranteed. But we've seen him not disclose an injury before. So I'm not just going off nothing. It's not because I wanted to trade Judge for all those years. He has hidden an injury before. He is a guy who has been on the IL and said, I don't even know why I'm on here. I'll be fine. And then played 4 innings and gone back on again. He's a bad history with not just being injured, but how the injuries are handled. And so my biggest fear has been that we wake up one day and we get the push notification, Aaron Judge to go to IL. Oh, it's been, you know, oh, it's been nagging Judgy for about 3 weeks. It's really just been barking, like all the shit Boone says.
Tried to play through it.
Yeah, and then it's a month where it's like, well, we could be 1 week away if you had just done this in the beginning. The same thing where we talk about, like, should have had the surgery.
You're right, but after Saturday and Sunday where he combined for 5 hits and looks like 5 RBIs and 2 home runs and he's pulling the ball for some of his home runs, do you still think it, like, do you think it's the toe? Do you think it's the oblique? I think he's fine physically.
No, it might be that he just, you know, needed to get going and like if he carries this on. But like headed into this series, I was just like, I'm waiting for that push notification. Of just like Judge is going to head to the IL because it's a toe or it's, you know, something else that we didn't know was going on. And obviously the Yankees didn't know what's going on. The hope is that he gets it going. He finds, you know, up to 250, you know, then maybe eventually 270 and, you know, and continues to hit and stay healthy. But again, you know, it's 2 games against the same team. Kind of got to see it in, let's see it in Baltimore, when the games matter a little bit more.
It's a great point. They're going to go up against some tough pitchers. We're going to, be talking about that with RDT in a little bit. And you weren't on last week, but my theory is like, this is the Jeter 2004 theory for me. And whereas Soto is the A-Rod, you remember, I mean, you were, however old you were, I know you clearly remember this. A-Rod gets 19 here.
19 years old.
Oh yeah, you're right in your fan prime. Jeter is ice cold. He's fucking uncomfortable. He has an 0 for 32. He's getting booed. By far the darkest part of the Derek Jeter's career with the Yankees, and he was clearly uncomfortable with Alex getting all this attention. And that's how I think about Judge. I think he was used to the chambers, the bobbleheads being in every commercial, and now Soto is the clear alpha dog, and I think Judge has really struggled with that. That's my theory.
See, I thought it's so weird. You're kind of going at Judge. My theory was that he was trying to push through an injury because he knows this is the Soto year. Soto comes back if we do well. Let me be there to, like, Soto got traded to be with me. I need to be here with him.
Okay. Hey, we'll probably never know which one's right. We're not in his brain, but yeah, that's how I saw it. The other guy, probably the guy that we criticize easily the most, I would say, Gleyber Torres, finally gets his first big knock of the year, that three-run double go-ahead on Saturday. He had the go-ahead RBI hit again on Sunday. Five hits combined on Saturday and Sunday. Like, I'm just happy he finally realized the
season. He had a nice play in the field on Saturday, too.
Yes.
Which that's an area where it's always kind of a heart attack. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully, hopefully this is the beginning of something for Gleyber. Still think he stinks. He's hitting 218. He's got no home runs. He's a huge defensive liability. Yes, two games against the Brewers where he was go-ahead run RBI. He's been playing well against them. They're a first-place team. We're talking about playoff teams. So, I'll take it. But him more, significantly more than Judge. Like, I need to see this stretched out.
What I love from Torres was Sunday, there was a runner on third, no outs, and there's that bloop going into right, kind of like shallow right, and he makes that, over the shoulder catch with his back to the plate, and he turns around and could have been like even maybe a sack fly. He turns around and fires a strike to home plate back, before we pounded out 15 runs. I thought that was a really nice play. And like you say, you're always holding your breath when the ball's hit to him.
Always. Always. When it's hit to him, are you more nervous when a ball is hit to Gleyber Torres or thrown to Gleyber Torres?
That's a great, the second one, where it's a double play ball and Volpe's flipping to him and then he has to make the throw to first. That's scary because if the ball gets away, sometimes it's two runs.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
That's a good question. And I have this in my head of like the trust tree of like one more out to get in the World Series. Like, who do I want? Who do I want a ball hit to? Right now it's Juan Soto. If I had to pick one ball in play to any Yankee, give me an easy fly ball to right field that Soto can camp under.
And I haven't been watching, a ton of Juan Soto in my career, aside from like the World Series, pretty much. My understanding was that defensively, like that's the weakest part of his game, especially his arm. And, he's proven, I think like including last year, he's like top five outfield assists. He's like really improved.
So coming into this year, he was the seventh worst defensive outfielder by whatever nerd metric it was for 2023. But he worked with Jackie Bradley Jr. in the offseason. Soto's reasoning was, I don't know these American League hitters at all. I've never played in the AL and I need to, work on my positioning, work on my defense. And again, I keep saying this, opening day when he made that throw to save the game in Houston, it felt like that set the tone for him defensively the entire year.
Yeah, it gives him, just some confidence that, you'd rather hit a home run in your first at bat than strike out. You'd rather throw a guy out than the throw be a little late. Jackie Bradley Jr. helping the Yankees. Long Island Ducks outfielder Jackie Bradley Jr.
I knew he was no longer in the show. I didn't know if he was still hanging around in the minors. Are the Long Island Ducks, is that independent or is that the Mets?
Yeah. Okay. He got cut by the Royals last season.
That's about the last stop on the major league train. If you're getting cut by the Royals, that's probably it.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
But no, nice to see, always watching Soto just do anything is always fun. And then the other guy that kind of came back to life is Anthony Rizzo. 3 hits and 2 RBIs on Saturday. He had 4 hits on Sunday, last I checked. You were saying, you know, defensively, just the yips, right, from the concussion, but offensively, you thought he'd be fine. Are you pretty encouraged by Rizzo's weekend, or you still need to see a lot more?
No, I'm pretty encouraged by it. Like I said, because it was like the next game or like that night's game when we recorded, and I said it, that there was a ball that landed on the top of the guardrail. And he was there in plenty of time, but did one of those, like, I mean, this is an audio thing, so you can't see the stupid hand motion I'm making. But, like, he got alligator arms on it. Like, he tried to do a backhanded alligator arm where he just seemed like even getting, like, close to the railing was something that, like, that bothered him. Whereas I feel like I've seen Rizzo going into the dugout his entire career on something like that, like, without thinking twice. So I think there's just a certain level of comfort that you have to find when you're coming back from an injury like that.
And we talked all offseason or, you know, all spring training about how Stanton and Rizzo, like, which one of them can bounce back and help us. Stanton is having a really, really weird year. He's hitting .241. His OBP is under .300, which is awful. He can't move at all, but he does, you know, only 21 hits, but 6 of them are home runs. Like, he's kind of doing, I would have signed up for .241 and 6 bombs at the end of April. Like, to me, he's meeting expectations.
Stanton, you said?
Yeah.
Stanton more than expectations.
Okay. So he's exceeded for you.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see him hit .250, but like .237, I'll take 6 home runs. You know, he may get a 7th, you know, if let's say he has 7 home runs by the end of April, that I would have taken the first year he was here, let alone after being dog shit for forever. And I do want to point out, we talked about Rizzo. I think we recorded it on the 15th. Okay. He had just had the 2 errors on the Sunday in Cleveland. Hasn't made an error since.
Okay. I like that. All right.
2 weeks of no errors. And
that's still.
And he didn't get an error for the alligator arm thing that we just talked about, but still, because it was a foul ball. But, you know, he's not missing like the obvious plays. And now I think, you know, there's confidence that comes with being able to do the thing that is supposed to come so naturally to you, which is the defensive side of the ball.
It's more of a relief. Like, I'm not going to say I'm excited. I'm more relieved that it seems like he's coming back to it. And you think, I mean, a series where they'll face a couple of righties in Baltimore. Baltimore has a very short porch in right field. It's like, it's basically the same distance as the Yankees, but the scoreboard's a little higher. Like, I could see Rizzo, you know, jacking a few down in Camden Yards this week.
I mean, he's hitting .277. He's got 5 home runs.
Yeah.
He's got a good amount of strikeouts, you know, with 27. You'd like to see that come down a little bit, but he's getting on base .341. Like, he is actually, like, statistically, like, one of the better players on the team right now.
He has on the offensive side. And I just keep going back, but like you mentioned that Blue Jay series, that's still the only series they've lost is the 3-game series in Toronto.
That's it.
Have to keep going. One thing that's been brutal to watch, and anybody that watches the Yankees can agree with this, the catchers cannot throw anybody out. Anytime an opposing runner steals, they're safe. The numbers back it up. Trevino's at 22%, which is not good. And Austin Wells is 0%. I think he's like 0 for 7. Really, really tough. Like, I don't know if it's, you know, is it the moves? Is it the jumps? Or is it the arm strength? But like the catching coordinator, whatever the fuck he's called, like, they have to figure this out.
I mean, I don't know that it's something you like can figure out at this point. Like, you can either throw guys out or you can't throw guys out. I don't think that the catching coordinator, it's such a funny title, is, you know, getting the pitchers to have like a quicker motion to home. Like, you want them to do their thing. I did Friday. I was on ESPN Syracuse and they asked me, like, what do you think of the catching situation? So listen, Trevino can frame pitches well. He doesn't have a strong arm. I think everyone wanted Wells. Everyone wants Wells to develop. Cause with that, you know, lefty catcher, we heard he wasn't great defensively. And then he like really stepped up as he moved through the minor leagues. So there was some encouragement there. But again, he can't throw anyone out. He's batting 159. Trevino is like, Trevino's at his best when his back's against the wall, it feels like, because when Trevino came in, he's supposed to be a backup catcher, and we're supposed to have Rovadavich, or however you say his name, be our starting catcher, and Trevino goes out and wins a gold glove. So I think, like, the threat of Wells has, yes, I'd like Trevino to throw out more than 22% of runners. Maybe there is something mechanically they can do, but there is kind of like, if he doesn't have that arm. Focus on framing the pitches. Let's try to not get a lot of guys on base. Make the throws that you have to make and continue to bat. You know, what's Trevino batting? He's batting 280 at the catcher position, which, like, you don't see that often anymore.
Yeah, no, he's having a great year. And that's how he was in 2022. He had a really hot start, and then he eventually cooled off. I did want to just go back to what you said about there's not much you can do. Even if their arms aren't the strongest, I think there's things, all right, you know, this guy, Cedric Mullins on the Orioles, he likes to run on 2-1 counts or whatever the fuck. I'm sure there are patterns out there that using film they can figure out and studying video.
Yes, if they can do that, I think that would be, you know, that's ideal. But I don't know that they are. I just don't think, like, they can make their arm stronger. I like to think that they are preparing, and maybe they haven't been preparing as much on, like, the runners, because there's so much focus on, you know, Rodon's kind of new to the team. Stroman's new. Heels fairly new. Like, you're focusing on getting the weakest part of our game, taken care of with the starting pitchers, that maybe the other part of your job is lacking.
That might be true. Well, the reason Wells scares me is, like, it's not like he was putting up mashing numbers in AA or AAA. They kind of called him up with Dominguez, like, oh, here, you can come up too, you know, last September. It's not like he was raking. And his swing, he doesn't really have that, like, smooth uppercut swing that's built for Yankee Stadium. I know he's left-handed, but he almost has, like, that tomahawk sort of chopping swing where he's kind of chopping down at the ball. Again, like you said, 159, no bombs, just the two RBIs. Like, I'm just – at this point, I'm not convinced that he's even a major league player. Like, I need to see a lot more from him.
Yeah, I mean, he, in 3 years in the minors, was a 260 hitter.
It's okay. Supposed to dominate the minors if you're a first, if, like, he was the 20th pick or whatever. Like, supposed to do a little bit more than that, I think.
Yeah, like, in college, he was a 357 hitter.
Right.
So, like, that's what we wanted.
Yeah, and just not seeing, I'm not seeing these. I haven't even seen, like, a lot of deep warning track fly balls. Like you say, lefty hitter at Yankee Stadium, lift the ball, pull the ball.
Well, last year he hit 4 home runs in when he was called up, you know, in 19 games. And he was also, you know, hitting 229. So it was like, oh, well, maybe if he could figure out getting on base a little more, hitting a little more, like, he could, you know, make an impact. And, you know, I get excited about left-handed bats.
It's done. Goal of the year, Panarin! Part of the past, the celebrations forgotten, the history,
Vegas Golden Knights.
History, we're back to a blank slate, clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, we all do. Another guy we should shout out, who's now hitting cleanup against righties, which nobody had on their bingo card, is Alex Verdugo. He homers. I think he homered Friday and Saturday. He has looked fantastic. He's also, like, I knew he was a good fielder based on the metrics, but, like, he is a great defensive left fielder. He catches everything.
It's been amazing to just not be, like, worried all the time. Like, I've been worried a lot about balls hit to, you know, the outfield. especially left field. And seeing him back cleanup just reminded me of our sweet, sweet boy, IKF. America's cleanup hitter.
Did IKF ever hit cleanup for us?
Yeah, he did. He definitely hit cleanup for us. He hit cleanup, and he was a starting center fielder. He's pretty much Mickey Mantle with a beard now.
Sad, man. That is depressing. Now, Verdugo, and we've always said, like, anything was going to be an upgrade over nothing because we basically had – since whatever it was, 2020, where we were getting legit zero production. We've named the laundry list of guys that were out there, whether it was IKF, Franchy Cordero, Bowers, the corpse of Brett Gardner. Like, we're talking about nothing. Concussed Clint Frazier. So this 274 with a 370 OBP for Verdugo, he might as well be hitting 500 based on what we had previously.
I'm adding in Eric from Barstool Sports just because we had him on the line. It was time. What's up, my man? Hey, we were talking before, and this is recorded, so this is live.
No racial slurs. Okay, you got them all out of your system already?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, good. I had the text. The texts are fine, though, right, from you?
Yes. You screenshot those for my congressional run.
I have those printed on T-shirts getting ready to be sent all over the tri-state area.
What'd you print them on the sleeves that you're not wearing right now?
Hey, Sleeve Monster got me, man. Softball tonight, you know, we got to – some. You know, when you're an athlete like me, sometimes you just got to let it fly.
Good. I hope you pull a hamstring. Do you prefer Eric or RDT?
You can call me – whatever you want. Call me – I don't care.
Nick asked me. I was like, I don't fucking
know. Yeah, I was like, what are we calling him? You're a busy guy, man. You were at the Oriole game Sunday, and you got softball tonight. So, first of all, really appreciate you squeezing this in.
Anything for Jack. It's anything for
I got a conundrum with you, man.
You guys chat for a second while I close my shades because I'm battling the fucking sun.
You're way too rich to be like.
I've been battling the sun here. Yeah, no, because I don't plan ahead.
Never. Eric, in person, you are maybe the nicest guy I've ever met. You know, you're buying me drinks at Pickles. You're getting me upgraded to club box seats at Camden Yards. You're, you know, giving me and my wife a tour of I mean, you really are the mayor of Camden Yards. I got to give it to you, man. But when you tweet about the Yankees, man, I just want to punch a wall. You are so good at trolling us. I just had to call that out. A lot of times you go for some of that low hanging fruit, you know, Jeter's overrated or the fence is short or whatever. With your baseball knowledge, I think you could dig a little bit deeper even. I think there's more there.
Yeah, but then that takes too much effort. Like, I'm too tired now to, like, really, really dig my heels in and, like, do some research. Like, I literally just saw someone tweet and they were like, Glaber owns the Orioles. And I was like, I don't think he's hitting a home run against the Orioles since, like, 2019 or something like that. I think he may have hit one last year or something. But it was like, let's pump the brakes. It's not that 2018 year anymore. Like, Paul O'Neill isn't coming into the booth anymore.
It's way different. When I look at this 4-game series that we have coming up, I don't have to tell you it's massive. But when I look at it from our perspective, I'm like, all right, got 4 games here in Baltimore. After that, you know, 2 of the 3 remaining series are at Yankee Stadium, and we'll probably have Cole back. To me, I'm signing up for a split, hands down. Like, do you look at this as, like, as an Oriole fan, like, we need 3 out of 4 at home?
I mean, 3 out of 4 at home would be ideal, but with the way the bullpen is going right now, again, they just like you guys, they lost 2 out of 3 to the A's, who they're not the A's that we thought they were. Like, this team is much better. That A's team is much better than everyone thought they were. But yeah, this was kind of like a, you know, maybe we'll sweep them going into the Yankee series. And now, again, you lose 2 out of 3 at home and you're like, all right, you know, we kind of have to buckle down and you know. 3 out of 4 would be massive. Again, if they split, I would be like, that's perfectly fine. Give that to me any day. I think 1 out of 4 would be a disaster. Obviously, a sweep would be terrible. But yeah, I mean, 3 out of 4 would be absolutely massive. Again, they've been pretty much neck and neck. You know, you guys pulling ahead a little bit, but it's going to go, you know, I have a feeling you're going to look back in September and October and be like, that first series, if it goes 3 out of 4 one way or the other, it's going to be like, that's the series that kind of swung something.
We talk about often, like, how the shift in the schedule down to 13 divisional games makes them mean so much more for that, you know, those tiebreakers.
Yeah. And I say going into last year, like, I thought the Orioles benefited by far the most out of any team in baseball, just because, again, the year that the Yankees kicked their teeth in all the time. It was, you know, it was always whoever did the most damage against the Orioles won that division. And now, again, that's toned down a little bit. So, yeah, it just makes these games so much more bigger. And again, it's weird because, like you said, they only have 4 series against the Yankees.
It's 4 total series, yeah.
Like that, I feel like they used to play them like 9 series a year. It seemed like every, like twice a month, you were like, what the hell? Yankees are back again. So yeah, it does just make every matchup that much bigger. And again, I mean, if you can steal these games where Cole isn't here, I mean, that's massive. I feel like the Orioles have done, again, I'm not going to do any research, I promise you that. I feel like the Orioles have done decent against Cole. I know, Jack, we were at a game 2 years ago, I think, where Cole like pitched into the eighth, Ramon Urias hit a home run over the wall to like put them up. And that's when you kind of just went like this and left. And
it was hot out. It was hot out.
Oh, that was 2022. Oh, it was so hot. Yeah. Pickle's AC was broken. Yeah, it was 100 degrees.
Pickle's AC is always broken when it's hot, unless you go upstairs into the back room where the thermostat is and just turn it on yourself.
By the way, they did put new bathrooms upstairs. We're looking at troughs, baby. So it's just guys being guys. Troughs.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Do they dump ice in there?
Oh god, no. It's just piss. Just straight up piss.
Yeah, like I'm not asking about the ice from like a hygienic standpoint so much as like peeing down some ice is fun. That is boys will be boys.
We'll pee down some ice. I'll get Tom, the owner of Pickles, to load up the urinals. That or we'll just do it ourselves. BYOI. And we'll just piss on some ice.
Yeah, what do
Jack's
got
the hard hitting questions.
July 13th. Yeah, this is a baseball podcast, all right? We're talking about pissing in troughs.
Weekend series. As AL East guys, we kind of hate each other, but I do think there's a mutual respect of going through the gauntlet every year that is the AL East. I'm curious, so like, obviously the Red Sox are always going to be my least favorite team, but the team that I think is the most annoying to me is the Blue Jays with Vlad, with Manoa, with all those guys that are constantly yapping. Curious, who's your least favorite team in our division?
It's got to be. Because, again, like, I've always hated the Yankees. So it's just that constant hate. And, again, it's, like, nothing new. The Blue Jays, again, are, like, puffing their chest out. And, you know, they're like, like you said, we got Vlad, we got Bichette. And it's like, you guys are, you're awful. Like, you haven't, you know, they blew that divisional, or that I think it was a division round series to the Seattle a couple years ago. And it's like, you guys have no room to talk about anything. And they're like, you know, and then their big thing to me is always like, yeah, well, Encarnacion. I'm like, that was 8 years ago, buddy. Like, you're still hanging your hat on that. Like, you know, but yeah, I'm with you. Like, I got into it with a bunch of guys because Manoa last year and the Orioles kind of torched him. You know, again, it was the night that Judge hit that home run off Bautista to tie the game. That wasn't a walk-off. He tied it. And then
Yankee Stadium.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I had been making fun of Manoa all day, and some guy was like, yeah, that's why Felix sucks. And I was like, your tub of lard is literally struggling against 18-year-olds. Like, yeah, like Felix gave up a home run to the best power hitter on the planet. That happened. Like, your guy's getting carved up by, like, freshmen in a JUCO right now. Like, what are you talking about? So, yeah, it's like, they're just dumb. They don't know anything. And like, again, they're kind of like the Yankees fans where any ball in the air, it's like, oh, it's like that ball's 40 feet from the warning track, brother. What are you talking about? So yeah, the Blue Jays are like, it's kind of that like, hey, pipe down, like adults are talking here, you know, like go back over there.
Adults are talking here.
I just want to clarify that Nick does not speak for both of us. I do not respect you. I don't respect the fans. As the season goes on, there's no like, oh, we've been through it. And I also want to point out that my guy, Elliot Arditi, father of Eric here, Yankee fan. Born and raised New Yorker, Yankee fan. Eric had the keys to the castle. He's like the redheaded British prince who was just like, I'm going to America. I'm going to give this all up, whatever his name is. That's Eric Arditi.
But why would I again, like, I never lived in New York. I was born here. Like, why would I ever adopt his team?
Because, you know, bonding, because it's better than, like, I don't know. Why do I not do heroin? Heroin seems fun. It's right around me. No, because I don't do it.
RDT, we're the same and went opposite directions. My dad's from Long Island, Yankee guy. I've been in, you know, the Philly market my whole life, but I just – growing up in the Jeter dynasty, there was no way I was going to be a Phillies fan ever.
But again, like my youngest memory, by the way, I do like we're not even 9 minutes into the call and we've talked about pissing on ice and heroin on a baseball podcast.
Yeah, that's fucking Baltimore, baby.
That's Wire season 6. But was it, like my earliest memory was going to the 96 ALCS where Daryl Strawberry fouled a ball back up the club level, knocked my dad's lens out. And you know, he's patting around on the ground for it. And, but again, like I never once was like, I think I'm going to be a Yankee fan or like, I need to be around the Yankee fans. It was always just Orioles. I think it was, again, there was a game I went to, I don't know what year it was. And, you know, Jeter's leading off and it's like, you know, now batting number two, Derek Jeter. And the guy behind me, I must have been, I don't know, 8 or 9. And the guy just stands up behind me and goes, Jeter swallows. And I was like, don't know what that means, but it sounds kind of cool. My dad was like, Jesus Christ. But again, that, like those early 90s, I mean, the rivalry, like it was fun kind of like going back and forth with my dad. And even, you know, the Orioles obviously fell off after that. But he doesn't hold that over my head. You're the one that holds it over my head, Jack. We're like, you could have had the kingdom. It could have been you.
And yeah, because your dad's over you. Your dad's asking you why he doesn't get to hang out with me. Your dad wants to be on a text chain with me.
Listen. He likes coming. He told me, you know, I debated on telling you this. I knew. He goes, I'll tell you what, because he's gotten obviously into watching the Orioles. And he goes, these Orioles Yankee series are going to be tough for me. He's like, they're going to be really, really tough for me because he likes the guys. He loves listening to Jim Palmer and Kevin Brown. And, you know, he watches every game, every Orioles game. But he's still a Yankee fan.
Dude, get this guy an MLB package. Help him out. Father's Day's coming.
He doesn't want to watch the Yankees. That's the thing. He doesn't. Damn. Same guy who when the Giants won the Super Bowl, he just goes, okay. And he turned it off and went upstairs.
Yeah, because that's what this is about. Professionalism, moving on. We're on to the next season.
The next
shaving.
The Yankees won in 2009. I shook my roommate's hand and I went to bed. No, I started thinking about spring training.
I can only imagine the stuff that if there was a Yuppie Junk episode that came out that night, I can only imagine the stuff that would have been talked about.
No, I was just focused on spring training.
Yeah.
just like Steinbrenner. Other than Juan Soto, RDT, what worries you about facing the Yankees? Or like everybody's scared of something on the other team. Like what worries you going into this series?
What worries me is it's going to be 87, 85, 78 and 80 when the Yankees are in town. And obviously we know how the ball flies at Camden Yards. And again, it's like I've seen it creep up a couple times this week and everyone's like, Judge, you know, he's kind of sucking. And it's like got Baltimore circled though on his calendar. Like, you know, again, it's like, why couldn't they have been here the first week of April when it was snowing? You know, like why not, you know, when it's 40 degrees, like why when it's 80? So that's what scares me, the weather. And, you know, the chance that Judge could just have that like Glaber kind of run. It's not even a Glaber run because Judge just does it all the time against the Orioles. But that's what scares me is that and Soto being the first guy to hit the warehouse in a game would like.
That would break you. Yeah.
But he doesn't hit those like long, like especially because you got to hit like right down the line.
No, like if Judge was a lefty, he would do it.
Oh, easy.
Soto doesn't hit those home runs. Soto gets on base all the time.
Yeah.
Soto goes to all fields too. He does. He's not like a dead pull hitter like that.
It'll be interesting to watch him see if he could go over Baltimore, the left field wall. Because we've seen a lefty. I think James Outman did it last year. I think he may be the only lefty. I think Adley. I don't know where Adley hit his today, but. Yeah, that scares me. Is again the weather warming up, the Yankees kind of being like, hey, we need, you know, the offense needs kind of a slump buster, and you know, let's break Judge out of this. So that terrifies me.
How deep is left center now? Sorry, go ahead.
It's they moved it back like 30 feet, I think 35 Jesus. Feet. So it's like 380, 390, something like that. I don't know. And the wall is 21 feet high. We actually were on the warning track today and like did our little parade around. And like standing in left field and looking up at the wall, like that thing it's massive. Like it really does look like intimidating when you're out there. So I get it, but I don't know the exact, I could find it, but it's way too tired and lazy to do research. But yeah,
chicks dig the long ball. You guys hate chicks.
No, we just have all left hand. When they moved the wall back, 7 of their 10 hitters were lefty or switch hitters. So again, it you feed into your strength. That's what they do.
So you were pro moving it back.
I was fine with it because again, Mike Elias, like he came out and was like, we didn't do it just to like, oh, I think we should do this. He was like, we have analytical data to back it up. We have stats that'll back it up. It'll help. Again, obviously you look at all the right-handed power in the AL East. It's like, we got to do something. So they moved it back. And again, I say like the wall, it works because it keeps balls in. you know, balls that will be 10 or 20 rows out, you know, now that's a fly ball right to the wall. So it definitely helps the Orioles. And I was like, if it helps bring pitchers in again, if it helps bring Corbin Burns back, that would be incredible. Like righties, nobody wanted to pitch in Camden Yards in the hot summer with a wall that was 335, 340 feet away, like facing Aaron Judge 19 times, now 13 times a year. Nobody wanted that. Like, again, back when we thought Vlad Jr. was like a good player, like nobody wanted that. Yes. Like, you know, now he's just a tub. But it's, yeah, I was always in favor of it. There are still people who aren't, but I think it helps more than it hurts.
I will say, you mentioned a couple of the guys. My least favorite thing about these Orioles, easily, the names. These fucking names.
You've been at a bachelor party with a Colton, a Heston.
No, I haven't, because I'm almost 40 years old. You've got a Keegan, a Corbin. You've got Adley, Gunner. You've got a Colton, a Heston. And I used to just hate Santander. I hate Michael KB. Like, Santander goes deep. But these are some of the – you have the Montana boys on your team.
I have actually talked to the Orioles social media team back when, like, that the Montana boys were first coming out. I was like, you need to put their faces on these guys because they literally are. They're the frat boys. It's, do you know who my dad is? Over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah. Didn't a bunch of them live together in spring training too? Just like a bro down house.
They did what you did. What is it? The Dojo Mojo
Casa
Dojo
House.
Yeah. Casa de Jojo, whatever. That's what they did. Yeah. It was, Kyle Stowers, who looks like Jack, you may know this, the meme of that surfer who's like, they're interviewing him with the waves crashing in the back, and he's like, blah, oh, it was a sick barrel roll. It's like some sick Cali bro. So they had Kyle Stowers, that's him, Ryan Mountcastle, Colton Cowser, Adley, and Gunner. But yeah, you forgot Gunner of all people.
No, I said Gunner's the coolest name. Gunner's the coolest name.
Gunner's a bad name. I'm surprised you don't have a Jackson with an X or, you know, a couple Graysons in there.
They have both of those. R. Jackson has a bunch of K's, not any X's, but
they all date Ashley, but it's spelled like A-S-H-L-E-I-G-H.
Yeah, it's that meme of like the fall Christian girls with the like, yeah. Yeah.
Jackson was on my list for you. So he was not up, you know, opening day. They keep him down. So you're like, all right, they're going to wait and get the service time. Then they call him up, correct me, like 10 days later, and now he's back down. Obviously, he's going to be up again. But I guess, what did you – I mean, obviously, he struggled. But I guess, what's your take on that whole situation?
Yeah, I mean, I was not happy that they didn't bring him up to start. I was like, I think he's ready. You know, he hit like 290 in spring training, couple home runs, like played good defense, you know, ran the bases really well, was just hitting to all fields. And I was like, I don't know how you don't bring him up. And I thought that would be like a Mike Elias – kind of dropping his balls on the table and being like, we're going for this. We have Corbin Burns for 1 year. We're going for it. And, you know, get the, like, I was like, if you want to see the place would have exploded if he ran down the orange carpet on opening day. I understood why he didn't. Like, once Elias gave all the thing, you know, we've got to get him more at-bats versus lefties, and they faced a lot of lefties early. I was like, oh, that I get. It's perfectly fine. And then again, they bring him up and everyone's like, oh, this is awesome. And then he struggles, obviously. He gets his first hit, you know, couple days after he comes up, but he looked overmatched a lot of the plate appearances.
18 strikeouts in 36 plate appearances is rough.
2 for 34 again with 2 walks and 18 strikeouts. I mean, he looked. There were times where you're like, this kid's never played baseball before. And then again, you remember he's 20 years old again facing the best pitchers in the world. Like it's going to happen. But then again, you had the fans being like, you got to send him down. It's like 2 weeks ago we were. Because they didn't bring him up, and now you're like cursing him because you didn't bring it. You're not sending him down. So that's when I was like, what are we doing here? I thought they would have kept him up because they were winning. He was in the 9-hole and they were winning every game. He was 0-for-4, but they were winning. So I was like, they're just gonna let him kind of run through this thing. And then Wednesday, you know, in Anaheim, he smokes a ball 104 off the bat for a single, and we're like, all right, now get out of the way. Look, Jackson's coming. And then Thursday or Friday they send him down. But again, I mean, it's obvious he needs help. He needs something. He has a high leg kick, and I was like, major league pitchers probably just love that. They're like, I'm gonna embarrass this kid.
Fuck with his timing.
Yeah, it's gonna be good for him. Go down, kind of get his confidence back. Like you said, he'll be up. we had always thought that the Yankee series was going to be like the barometer. Like if he came into the Yankee series and was 6-14 or, you know, 4-12.
I was terrified that he was going to break out against us. Same thing with you and Judge. Like I was terrified that he was going to, you know, have 8 hits in the 4 games against us if he stayed up.
Exactly. And we were like, that's going to be kind of the measuring point. And then they were just like, nah, we're going to send him out before, which again, 2-34. How can you be like, you gotta keep him up. I get it. Again, Mike Elias is way, way smarter than I am. So I'm like, he hasn't given us a reason not to trust him. Like everything that Michael Elias in the front office does seems to work. So it's like, let's pretend like the guy who built, you know, who helped build the Astros dynasty. Let's pretend like he knows what he's doing because right. It seems like he does.
Has it been weird?
I'm open to the possibility that Jackson Holliday just sucks and never gets.
Oh,
I'm open to that. That would be, I'm cool with that.
He may just be Anthony Volpe. Like, I mean, maybe he is.
A Gold Glover? Eating delicious chicken parm?
Anyway.
Hit it dingers? Anyway. Hit a 3-run home run on his birthday? I think it was his 13th birthday today, and he hit a 3-run home run.
Remember when everyone was like, he's better than Gunnar? Like 2 weeks
ago. Did we say that? Were we doing that?
Not you guys. There were.
Okay. Was that a thing?
It was after like the first week when he was batting like .650. And they were
Oh, right.
Gunnar was batting like .150, and they were like, Gunnar who?
We both have idiot fans, I would say, in both of our fan bases. Has it been weird for you? Because, like, obviously you guys sucked for a while. Nobody's going to the games or really watching. Now, and I assume you were, and now you have all these front-runner-type fans that are back on. Has it been weird seeing the people jump back on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's because all these fans are all Ravens fans. I mean, it's a football town 9 months out of the year. I mean, it used to be the second July hit, fans were like, dude, training camp is going on. And we're like, the Orioles are 40 games under .500. Like there was 8,000 people at Camden Yards on a Friday night. So it was a big football town. And obviously the Ravens, you know, they won in 2012 Super Bowl, and they've been close a bunch of times since. But the fans who have now come over, because all they know is success and winning in the regular season, these fans think every single game in Major League Baseball, Matt, like they think that it's like a football game where it's like, You gotta pull this out. Like they legitimately don't understand like the concept of like I'd be like, man, losing that game sucks, but you know, you got one tomorrow. And they're like, what are you're happy with losing? And it's like, no, but there's 161 more. Like it's okay. And they can't wrap their mind around that, because again, in football, it's like you lose, you're like, what if we lose two in a, if we lose two in a row, like what if we lose three in a row? And here it's like, yeah, have a bad week, you know, whatever, it happens. But so, yeah, it's been frustrating trying to like reel people in and be like, yeah, they lost like 11-1. It happens. It's OK. Guess what? You go out there tomorrow. So, yeah, the new fans are idiots, but whatever. Spend your money, fill the seats, buy jerseys. I don't care.
Jack, sounds like the Eagles, right? Training camp's coming in July and people stop watching the Phillies.
Yeah, but if they make it far into like the playoffs, then all of a sudden everyone's been a diehard.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like these guys, the people who complain also are the ones, you know, during the last week in September being like bitching about being like, I have to get playoff tickets. It's like, dude, you were like off the wagon in May. Like they lost 4 in a row and you were calling this team like the worst thing that's ever happened to Baltimore. Like the bridge didn't just collapse or anything, you know?
I do hate.
I'm surprised that we've gone this long and Jack hasn't thrown one of those out.
No, dude, there was a loss of life. There was a loss of life. All life is precious. You can donate to my campaign on actblue.com.
I'm surprised I didn't see you down here trying to campaign.
You forgot. I'm a politician now.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is 4 missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour three-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Yeah, I think one of the frustrating things about this Orioles, you know, resurgence in, I mean, last year I think was the first year we were really impacted with it, is that I can't just go, what do I got, some spare change in my car? I guess I'll sit behind the plate. Like, we have to plan on going and just like, oh, shit, like, we've got to get tickets in advance. I can't just be in pickles and be like, oh, I don't know, someone on StubHub asked me to play third base for $2, you know?
I'm going Monday night, 90, or it was 90 bucks after fees. I mean, solid. It's like 214, like that mid-level club area. But, I mean, I'm sure it was like a couple of years ago. It was 25 bucks.
Oh yeah, it's. I mean, prices have definitely gone up. And again, you know, they always have the prime games for the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Phillies, the Nats, like all the close teams, where again the people come down and they just jack the prices up because they used to just be all Yankee fans. So it's changed. And you know, I was talking to Ryan Mountcastle's father-in-law today, and I was like, are you staying for the game tomorrow? And he's like, nah, we're flying out tomorrow morning. And I was like, oh, you want to get out before the Yankees come in? He's like, I don't have a problem with the Yankees fans anymore. He's like, Boston sucks. But he's like, the Yankees
really?
Fans, he's like, kind of, because again, he was like, they kind of tipped their cap. And, you know, I was the game last year, that Sunday night game, that ESPN game. I wasn't even in my seat yet. And it was 6-0 against Severino. And that's when I was like, this could be like a changing of the guard moment. Like, this could be that. Like,
you can't judge anything on fucking Severino.
Thank God he's gone.
You guys don't even know what time the game starts.
you know, your boy Booney threw him out there, and Adam Frey deposited that one onto the flag court.
That was a tough weekend. It is a completely different experience. Like I said, I'm going Monday night, and it used to be, oh, I'm going, it's going to be all Yankee fans, it's going to be chill, we're going to win. And now it's like, oh, you know, we're plus 120. Like, I'm not used to being an underdog down there.
Yeah. And again, it's different. Like, when I'm looking at the schedule and I'm like, all right, who's going? I'm like, it's kind of like what you guys would do with Cole. You'd be like, all right, Cole's going, so that's one. It's like, all right, I was like, four game set. We're getting Corbin. Like, that's a good stopper. So yeah, I don't even know. Like, I haven't even looked at when he's going.
Corbin's Wednesday, tomorrow, I think.
Yeah. Okay. You'll see a good one tomorrow. Cortez Kramer. What is it? Gil and Burns on
Heel.
Wednesday.
Heel.
Sorry.
We're an ethnic organization.
Look at you.
We don't have your Ku Klux Klan, Gunner and Adley. We're not the yacht club of the greater Baltimore area.
Yeah, it's Sigma Beta Dong Bong.
Camden Country Club.
It's like that video of the Alabama frat boys walking
I've tweeted that like so many times, and it's like, Heston. Oh, you missed Heston. Yeah, there's a Heston down there too.
No, I said Heston. Trust me. I said all the terrible names. I had the roster. I was going to do my Mount Rushmore of names I hate in Baltimore.
They're all just the same name.
That's how I prep for this show. I just think about things I hate.
Build the Mike Elias 100% has a type, and it's young blonde lefties who absolutely mash. Who was it? Somebody tweeted me a screenshot of Nick. You won't know this. Jack will simpler. What was it? Nicole Richie and Paris Hilton.
Simple life.
So sweet life. Yeah.
Maybe.
And Nicole Richie, they were like at, or I think it was Nicole, they were at the ice cream truck, and she was ordering like a Barbie ice cream. And the caption was like, or the closed captioning is like, let me get five of those little blonde bitches. And someone was like, Mike Elias in every draft.
Yeah.
Five of those little blonde bitches.
How many righties are in the lineup? Because I'm terrified that Clark Schmidt struggles against lefties. It seems like your entire lineup is lefty. How many righty regulars do you even have?
It's Mountcastle at first, who will, you know, DH. They'll give him the night off against right. I mean, he smoked a ball today off a righty dead center. Jorge Mateo is a righty. Ramon Urias, he'll probably get some starts. Everyone else, it's Santander and Adley are switch hitters. Heston's a lefty. Kowser's a lefty. O'Hearn is a lefty. Mullins is the lefty. So again, I mean, their lefty lineup, they stack them. And again, the righties, they really, Mountcastle has legitimate power, and so he's still dangerous, but yeah, it's very lefty heavy. So, but then again, those two switch hitters that helps a lot with Santander and Adley, who could not hit from the right side his first year, is now hitting like 440 as a righty. So it's incredible.
Interesting.
There were people 2 years ago who were like, Adley has to stop switch hitting. He has to be a lefty. And now he's like 250 as a lefty, and he's like 415 or something as a righty. It's crazy. I think today he hit a home run as a lefty, and that was his first one of the year. So it's been a nice development.
I'm looking at tickets, $28 for that Saturday game. Like, I might just buy the cheapest tickets now because we stand in center field anyway.
Oh, by the way, the new center, it's the Coors Light center field bar now, sponsored.
So, beers will be cold. Ice cold.
Yeah.
Those mounds are blue.
Hopefully not 100 degrees this July. Like, just give me 85 this time. I can't do another 100 degrees at Pickles again.
Today was our first like day over 80 in like a while that we've had like a home game here. And again, it was miserable. There were 40,000 people there, and it was just the hottest that it's ever been. So yeah,
spring doesn't exist, man. It's 40 where we live, and then it goes straight to 90.
Yeah, it's literally like last night I was in Aberdeen helping like call the Orioles high A team, their game. I was in jeans, a long sleeve, and then a hoodie. Like, it was freezing. And then today I'm in a cut off tank top, and it's, you know, 85 degrees outside. It's awful.
It's 81 right now. I started power washing my back patio and it was like 50 degrees this morning. I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah, you were probably in a hoodie and shorts, and you're like,
I was.
Yep.
Just fucking living the dream, man.
Just picturing it.
Just living the dream. Just
when you know a guy,
get cleaner.
You know a guy, you know?
You going to any of these games? RDT, you taking the week off.
I don't know. Like, tomorrow I have my daughter's T-ball team, and then, like, Tuesday. Like, I get off
work. What's their record? Are they any good? Are they in first place? You know?
They have scored. Every player has scored a run every time they hit. We're just round robin, and baby.
Give me the JoJo RDD scouting report. Is she a righty? What position she playing? She's 5 years old, right?
Yep, righty. She's the only girl in her league. So we're breaking
in the whole league.
Yeah, in the whole league, she had a chance to go to softball. She said no. She just learned about Jackie Robinson, so she's like, I'm feeling inspired. I'm gonna breaking barriers here. Second baseman, got a knock off me yesterday in coach pitch. So, and then I struck her out / she had to use the tee the second time. And I told her like, daddy's still boss. Okay. So remember this.
Nice. Where's she playing in the field?
Second base, little pitcher, you know, they got her moving around a little bit, but second seems to be her,
my kids have taken no interest in baseball yet.
Damn. Really?
Yeah. No, I was like, Joey, you want to play, I'm going to play Little League. And she was like, no, I don't think I'm good at that. So, you know, we didn't like soccer. We got to wait till we're in kindergarten. Then maybe you want to do what your friends are doing.
Mm-hmm.
We signed up for cheerleading though. So every Saturday I got to go watch like 5-year-olds get CTE while my daughter dances next to their grave.
MJ is going to be a great cheerleading mom.
Hell yeah. She is like, this is her thing. Me and Layla will show up with coffee later.
She's going to, I mean, MJ is going to be the dance mom. Like the.
She is. She is. We have a dance recital on Father's Day. That's when they schedule them, on Father's Day. Can you imagine if I scheduled, like, I remember for Mother's Day, like, Little League is canceled that weekend. Like, you can't even think about that.
Yeah.
They schedule dance. My niece has a dance recital on Father's Day. They schedule them on Father's Day. Nowhere I'd rather be.
Enjoy.
Definitely not at home on my couch. Wouldn't want to do that.
Eating smash burgers or something from the black.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
They're trolling you, man. I think the Yankees split the series. I think we're going to win Tuesday and Thursday with Nestor and Rodon against the lefties. Mm-hmm. RDT, I feel like you're predicting 3 out of 4. It's kind of what you do, right?
It's what I do, but I'll tell you what. Sometimes I lie through my teeth. Shocker. Don't tell the truth on social media. That's a big thing. But,
see, I knew it. You knew about Kevin Costner. You know it's true.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I think they split too. I think they win with Grayson. I think they win with Corbin, and you know, the other two are kind of up in the air, and I don't think, I mean, there's a possibility it's Kyle Bradish on Thursday, which
really
they announced. Yeah. So Hyde announced yesterday his next start, he pitched Friday. So his next start, they said, will be in the Orioles rotation. I will take the under. I don't know how he has a tear in his, a sprained UCL, which is
a partial tear. Yeah.
How he is going to pitch, I do not understand. I told everybody for months, I'm not a doctor, I'm an idiot, but there's no chance he throws a pitch. I was like, if you set the over-under on pitches thrown in an Oriole uniform this year at 0.5, I'm hammering the under. I don't understand how he's going to – that's why it was the same thing with Cole. I was talking to – I think it was Neil – no, what's his name? You guys do the podcast.
Andrew. What's his
name? Andrew, yes. Yeah. And it was right after the Cole stuff, and I was like – it's kind of the same thing to me. Like, I just don't see how they come back, because we've seen it. The only other time that it's like worked is like the PRP rest, the PRP, and you know, you do it again, was Tanaka. And every other one was like PRP rest. He's going to make a minor league start. Oh, he was scratched and now he's getting Tommy John. So I was like, it's going to happen. Like, it always does. Why would it not happen? So yeah, he comes back. That thing may tear on the first pitch, you know. So
the interesting to see is velo too, because Tanaka is the only one that it worked, but he definitely lost a couple of ticks.
He at Triple A, I mean, he was like mid-90s. Like he was like a 98, 99. He was kind of right around where he was. And again, it's like the best thing was that there was always like, they were like, he feels great the next day. Like, I think one game he gave up like 5 hits, 4 runs, 2 walks or something like that. But they were like, he felt fine the next day. And I was like, that's all that matters. I don't give a shit about the numbers. Like, I just care that there's like, oh, his next start. That's all I care about. Like, the rest, they're not like, we're going to see what's going on. But so I don't know. Maybe he could be Thursday. It could be John Means who threw a gem today in Norfolk, who's rehabbing too. So I don't know what they're going to do, but I think they end up splitting. I think it should be a dogfight of a whole series. And I think it's just going to be the 2-2 to start off, and we'll kind of go from there.
I agree. I had Cole Irvin written down for Thursday, so now you're scaring me, because that would be a big, big step
up. Yeah, I mean, if you look at what Cole Irvin did the last two nights, I got him a reservation at Jimmy's last night. Not a big deal. Don't want to talk about that or anything, you know, just helping my guys out. I mean, his last two starts, I think he's thrown like 13 innings, 2 runs. Or like, he threw a 7-inning shutout yesterday. He was awesome. Wow. So he's come out of nowhere. Albert Suarez, who pitched today, you guys are going to miss him, but he came out of nowhere. So the Orioles have like a decent amount of options. None of them really like blow you away. I mean, it's Corbin and Grayson, but if Bradish came back, that would be incredible. I just don't know how long. It just seems like it's just a matter of time before it snaps. So hopefully it's not like third inning, 40, you know, 35 pitches in, and you know, then you got to go to your pen or something.
Jack, you got anything else? Any more any shit talking and any other?
No, I mean, Eric's a good friend. This is how I talk to my best friends. You know, I talk to him this, that piece of shit Carabas, good friend, you know. Thank you for coming on.
Yes.
Again, it's fortunate that, you know, people in Baltimore don't have jobs, so they can schedule the Yankees to come in during the week. I said that on ESPN Syracuse this week, ESPN. There's some eyes rolled when I made that joke. You forget what airwaves you're on sometimes. So, I mean, July 13th, it's a Saturday 4:00 game. I'm going to be down there. You'll be there, obviously. You live there.
Maybe day after my dad's
I'll be there.
Nick Friday will be there. Saturday. Intern Jack, who hasn't talked, he's from Maryland, I think, right? Isn't that the deal?
Yeah. I'm from right outside D.C., and I unfortunately will not be there. Wish I would.
Why not? What are you doing, intern Jack?
I got finals.
In July?
In July?
We're talking July 13th.
Yeah, not this week. I didn't expect you to come down from Syracuse. Yeah.
I hope none of those finals are in reading a calendar. No. Do you have to take a final in American Sign Language?
I do. I have it this Wednesday, I'm pretty sure.
What do you have to do? Just like say a sentence?
No, so he'll sign a bunch of stuff, and you have to like write down what he's signing.
Dude, what, are you a sign language guy?
No,
I learned that in kindergarten. Eric.
What's that mean?
Gang signs.
Gang signs? Also, intern Jack, I've just from this angle, I don't mean to, I think you have some black mold on the ceiling in your dorm room. I think above the window. Like I think it's a serious health concern.
Yeah, I'm in like the lounge on my floor.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I think, so that means more than just you and your roommate.
Yeah,
have bad lungs now.
Just kick everybody out of the lounge. Hey, I gotta record. I love it.
Yeah, this guy's going to fucking talk about heroin for a bit. You guys are going to want to get out of here.
Pissing on ice.
Dude, peeing on ice is so fun. It's like throwing ice, like getting a sheet of ice in like the winter and being like, I'm going to throw this and watch this break. Yeah, that'll get you going. That's just boys being boys.
Some of my favorite TikToks. A nice round piece of ice and they just drop it.
Yeah. Dude, we're having a great time.
They throw like the ice like over the bridge. It's the best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, a big splash. A big splash. That'll get the boys going. One thing we didn't talk about before Eric got on is if anyone knows Aaron Judge personally, tell him to stop trying the block shots sliding in the second base. Guys luckily be on the field every day, and he's just breaking up double plays with his bare hand. Stupid.
Wait, what did I miss? Did he do that today?
He straight up just swatted the ball out of the air as he was sliding into second. They missed the call. They call interference, but just took it right on his hand.
We don't need that.
The A-Rod play? Just
similar.
He just like played like no, this.
He was sliding it. It looked as if he just put one hand up and like grabbed it out of the air.
I mean, that's no respect for the game. That's where the baseball will come back on you. So you know,
dude, I'm fine with that. I fucking hate the game of baseball. I just like the Yankees. So disrespect the game all you want. I used to care about the game. Now I don't.
That's just perfect, Jack. Like, don't care about the game. Screw the game.
I just care about winning.
Can I get your thoughts on the mic on the what's the old man? The old bag Sterling's TV? What's up with that? I mean, what are we doing?
Wait, what are we talking about?
Yeah, so they gifted when they did the ceremony. They just brought out like a Walmart, like 83-inch TV. It makes sense to me. He's going to be watching the games. They wanted to give him a big TV to watch the Yanks on.
They should have brought out a casket.
He's going to be dead in 2 weeks. He's going to be Jopa. That guy's already in the ground.
Yeah, no, we didn't talk about it. When we talked about him like retiring, like we didn't talk about like, that's a guy. You got nowhere to go. You got nothing to do. What are you waking up for? When you got nothing to wake up for, you stop waking up. 2 years ago, remember he started showing up with like random Band-Aids on his head? I told you, I was like, this is not good. This is where soon, unfortunately, John Sterling did great things in form of media that I don't care about at all. But yeah, I mean, we're going to hear like broke a hip in his home. I'm not cheering for it. I don't want it to happen. I'm just telling, you know.
I'll call my shot. There is a seamstress right now making like the black stripes for the uniforms. They're gonna have those ready.
Just you think they're measuring? The they're JF. Just like, what is the thickness gonna be on this?
Yeah,
this is morbid.
Yeah, yeah, like the JS is gonna be on there, and they're gonna be like, "Damn, he only got to watch 3 games on that TV. It's such a shame." He's not even like the Geek Squad.
The Yankees would return it. The Yankees are returning.
Oh, yeah, it's $200 that we're going to need for soda.
Yeah,
so that would
that's exactly what it is. That's going into the – or that they're going to throw it in on the Soto contract. Like you want a pre-owned, not used. Geek Squad didn't have time to get there.
They give you $499 million and this sick 83-inch that was – the box is open, but it's not taken out. Like,
yeah. No, because that's how he – that could be what happens. You're just like, I'm going to hang this myself.
What if the TV kills him?
Yeah, that's what
if it falls on? Yeah.
And those aren't heavy TVs, but they can get it done.
Jesus Christ. He's going to get blown over by like a swift gust of wind. He's not, I mean, that TV would crush him like an ant.
It's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a tough one. Maybe they should have just gotten him a radio. It's going to be a tough day on Twitter. It's going to be a tough day. On Twitter, when everybody who I follow on Twitter is going to act like their grandfather just died.
What did I do wrong? Isn't that what he said? What did I do wrong?
When Stanton hit a ball off the Fenway Monster and he thought it was gone. And he's like, way out of the stadium. It was like halfway up the wall. Yeah, that was a tough one.
That's Tony and Blast. What?
in a playoff game, mind you. That was a wild card game that I'd like to forget.
Yeah. But again, on the record, don't want John Sterling to die.
And there's so many of those.
But if I had to place a bet.
The Stanton one's the famous one, but there's been so many times where, like, me and my dad are listening on the beach, and he's like, "It's gone. Oh no, it's caught." And we're like, "Are you fucking kidding me?"
That's what you get for that's what you deserve for listening to radio. That's like when people complained about Michael Sam kissing his boyfriend. That's what you get for watching the draft. You fucking deserve it.
That Gary Thorne used to do that his last couple years with the Orioles. He would call Adam Jones Jonathan Scope and vice versa, like, four times a week.
Yeah, that was just racism.
And then, like, I'll never forget, he called, like, two home runs that bounced on the warning track. And he's like, "It's long gone." It's like, that's a ground rule double, my guy. Like, that ball is bouncing. Like, what are you doing? So, again, like Jack said, he's getting ready to be a politician. Him and Sterling.
Sterling resigned so he could run for Congress.
He was at the correspondence dinner last night, right?
He was at January 6th.
Jesus Christ.
He was also screaming, "What did I do wrong?" Like, as he's walking through the Capitol. Yep. I thought it was an open house.
The people's house.
He's the old grandma. That picture of the old grandma who's just, like, bundled up. That's John Sterling.
Yeah. With a TV under his arm.
I can't wait to read, like, episode summary for this one. Like, the boys talk pissing and ice.
Dude, this is
thinking about doing heroin.
This is so fun because for 190 something episodes, I've put a lackluster effort into the description. This is the first one where it's like, I'm not doing it anymore. I mean, I think Jack probably did it, like, last week when I wasn't on, but, like, this is all Jack. It's out of my hands. I just get to show up, say mildly offensive things. Nick prepares the whole show. I come up, I make dick jokes. I talk about the death of an old man. And I just keep it moving.
That's pretty much how it goes.
My wife's doing bath time. She does that. She's doing the drying the hair. I just show up at the end for the cuddles. Like, I am mailing it in tonight on all fronts.
I don't think I'm going to put any of the John Sterling stuff in the description. I think I'm going to make that judgment call.
That's like a wait till the end. Wait till the end for a surprise.
Yeah.
You'll never guess how this episode ends.
Choose your own adventure.
Yeah. Yeah. Skip ahead if you have, like, sympathy for, like, elderly figures, you know, something like that.
John Sterling probably voted for Trump.
What did I do wrong?
Guys, I named my dog after Susan. All right. She's got to mention the book during the broadcast this year.
I see it over there. I see it up there.
Oh, it is. I didn't realize that. There you go. There's also a picture of, like, a shirtless, hot veterinarian with my dog from a Hounds and Hunks calendar.
I've always wondered what that picture was.
Her little bed is there. Yeah, this guy is so ripped. Like, so ripped. And he's a wild, an exotic animal veterinarian. Got to be the hottest guy in the world.
Susie, noted exotic animal.
Yeah, well, they were just like, hey, you got to be shredded to be in this. They're casting for Hunks. Your boy was in it.
Yeah, Johnny.
The Jimmy's guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big show your soft side. That's the big charity here. Show your soft side. Their tagline is only a punk would hurt an animal. Really digs deep in you.
There you go. Tell them to buy a couple $100. I'll come do a signing.
You do that.
Make it happen. Hell yeah. Dude, hey, I got Susie's autograph right here.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope.
And I got two of them because I'm fucking forgetful.
Ooh.
All right. I guess my wife's probably done doing my kids' bath so I can go show my face again.
Time to go, Dad.
Yeah. Eric, we appreciate you coming on the show. You can follow Eric. Eric, what is your fucked up Twitter handle now?
EDITTI22.
No one's going to fucking do that. That's like the safest password in the world. Like, that's what you should do. Like, exclamation.
Charlie Wisco did me no favors when he was at Twitter. So, again, blame him. Don't blame Elon. Blame him.
Yeah, don't blame Elon for anything. Intern Jack, what's your Twitter handle? I always forget it.
JackFeldman222.
Easy enough. I should be able to do it. Nick and Kirby, NYY. Follow the show at George's Box Pod. Intern Jack's been doing some tweeting. Follow me at JJ from the Bronx. Eric, we will see you July 13th. Everyone else, we'll see you at the parade.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.